There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bird council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. And update, once again, we're watching this as it, Attorney General Merrick Garland to make a press briefing. I don't know if he's going to take questions, exactly what's going to happen. It's supposed to be at about 1:30. When that's up, we will go to that and get you the audio. A lot of people interested in, you know, what's going to be said after Monday's raid at Mar-a-Lago. Also mentioned that we'd be talking to Johnny Hatcher, Mobile County School Board elect. Is that the right way?
That's it.
Mobile County School Board member elect, and somebody who is, even before, you're talking about hitting the ground running. You've been...
Brother, I hit it hard.
You do.
I want to do what's right. That's all I want to do. I want to make it better for our children.
We talked about this the other day. Here we go. This week, threats called in to at least two high schools and I think two elementary schools in Mobile County, threats of to shoot up the place, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
It goes right back to our conversations about having someone armed at our schools in Mobile County public school system.
Absolutely. And it also goes back to what you and I talked about, you know, I think the last segment that you and I did, we talked about putting money towards mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can identify these children, and these are children inside the school system as well. You know, what are we doing to get ahead of that? You know what I mean? Let's be proactive. Let's not be reactive. Now that we've identified these children, we know who they are, let's go ahead and give them the help they need, because obviously they got to be sick or they wouldn't be, you know, normal people don't play in this stuff.
Something's changed because, I mean, when we were kids, there were still, I think there were bomb threats called into schools and places and all that, but this was before Columbine,
right.
Not that there hadn't been school shootings, there had been some in the history of our country, to be frank, but they were very rare events. But
mostly colleges.
Yeah, and these things had, you know, had happened, but not with regularity at all. Very rare cases. Now, I don't know of a child that would be calling these kind of threats in that doesn't know how serious it is.
Sean, let's go back when you and I were kids. We played Cowboy and Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we didn't have semi-automatic weapons. We didn't have virtual reality.
Right.
We didn't have all these real high-tech games that these kids are playing now. Realistic. You know, we didn't have Grand Theft Auto where you drag somebody out and stomp them and shoot them and steal their car and run from the police. These are glorified behaviors that I personally don't accept. I don't have my household. I don't let my children have them.
Right.
And
You're making a decision.
Parents need to be more mindful of these things, because let me tell you something. It's like I've always said, when you're not spending time with your children, someone else is. And there's always going to be an influence in their life. Do you want it to be a positive, or do you want it to be something you have no control over?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who they're hanging out with, you haven't vetted them properly, you know, you're going to get some bad eggs in there.
Yeah, and listen, we could take an hour to talk about the video game thing, because I've talked about this in the past. If the child doesn't have proper direction and doesn't have that home training, then they can have that effect. I do think there could be children that have proper moral compass that could go play that game, and they're not going to act it out in the real world, because you and I watched
at a certain
movies
age,
and stuff like that that didn't make us go, you know, shooting people up or something like that, you know?
No, I think Halloween made me hide under my bed.
Right, you didn't go, but you can go stabbing people because
no.
of Halloween. So there's something to be said for home training on
is.
Top of...
It is.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You have these children out there that have these mental illnesses, and we know who they are. You know, or maybe they're just... they're pushed into these situations by being bullied, and they're unaccepted in society, and they're outcast.
Mm-hmm. You know, there you go.
That's what we're looking at, and we can identify these kids. Let's get them early. Let's get them the help they need, and let's get ahead of the problem. But more importantly, like you know, Sam said on your show the other day, you know, we need these. He's ready to provide these law enforcement professionals.
Yep.
I mean, this guy is 100% on board with this. Paul Birch is 100% on board with this. Let me tell you, this wasn't just my idea. This was Paul Birch. This was Sam Cochran. This was Johnny Hatcher. This was even Chip Brown. These mm-hmm. are a lot of people that's gotten involved and said, hey, let's look at this, see how we can fix this. But I'm going to tell you what Sam Cochran said I love. I said, Sam, I said, I'd like for these kids to get to know these officers as they grow older. And, you know, they stay with them all this time. He said, you don't want that. And I said, well, why wouldn't I want that? He says, Johnny, because you want these guys to be out in the street facing danger and staying sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Because when
he's talking about rotating them out after 3 years or something.
Rotate them out. Keep them out in the street and bring them back. Because, you know, I had a friend of mine tell me that he was talking with someone that they were talking about the school system is entertaining, hiring retired deputies, this, that, and the other. And the one thing he said is this is an easy gig unless there's a shooting.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
that's not what I want. I don't want a guy that says, hey, it's an easy gig. I got enough of that.
Yeah, I want a professional.
That's right. I need this guy who's sharp, ready, and willing to do what most are not. And
I want a sheepdog, right?
That's right. I had another gentleman tell me we need to train these teachers like they did in Israel to use guns and such. Sean, these teachers are teachers, not police officers. Yeah. They didn't want to be police officers. They didn't want to kill anybody.
I don't want to compel them to do that. But let's talk about structurally on this idea, because I talked about again with the sheriff the other day. What you're talking about in the school system, you know, the idea that the money would come because budget wise, he said, but the money would come from the school system to the sheriff's department the same way he was telling me, you know, like the city of Sims had contracted with the sheriff's department to have them do that. The budget for the Mobile County Public School System, is it all spoken for? Is there a way to, I mean, to me it seems like he said for the cost of another teacher basically at a school, you could provide these deputies there. And I'm sure the same thing would be true inside the municipal limits for city.
Sean, I had a conversation with Superintendent Threadgill 2 days ago. And when I proposed this question to him about getting the funding, he says, Johnny, funding's not a problem for that. Now, that's his words. So he's not worried about that. He's concerned about
that takes
safety
out what
as well.
That
was my take on it. He is concerned about their safety as well. He wants to go ahead and work in the right direction as well. My thing is, and I shared my concern with him, I'm not going to bring people in here that we got to birth all the way till they die.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll stay, if it's an easy gig,
right,
like was said, why would they leave?
Now,
and Sean, we've got technology. We've got all these things that we can do to secure the schools.
Mm-hmm.
It may be in 3 to 4 years, once we do all these things, we don't need an armed officer full time. We can just have them come by and do close patrol.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
It's the same way that you would bring any professional into your home or business to do what they're a professional at doing, right?
I mean, I'm not going to hire a roofer to do my floors.
Right. Well, Or there's certain things like with this business that aren't, you know, in what we're good at, right? So if we have to have that, then we hire a professional to do that. So I like the way, I mean, you already have people that are professionals in law enforcement, and you're saying that the budget is not the question. There's funding there for it, said
per Superintendent Threadgill.
Okay.
Absolutely. Per him.
To me, that was one of what I thought was going to be the biggest challenges, but that's great to hear that.
I think, you know, he and I have spoken, you know,
great
on several occasions, and I'll tell you this, not all of them have been 100% rosy.
Mm-hmm.
We had one that was really not pleasant, but turned out to be very pleasant. And I tell you, it was people, you know, taking a piece of a conversation and turning it into their own, you know, growing legs and becoming their own.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with anything that was said on my part or his, totally just used to create strife just to divide.
Right.
Well, he and I have made a pact. We're not going to allow anybody to divide us.
Okay.
We're going to stay in contact. We're going to continue to do what's best for the school system and the children and faculty, keeping them safe. Now, I've gotten a commitment from him that he's 100% on board of doing that, keeping the children and faculty safe. That's important.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, we talked about these teachers that laid their lives and covered these children mm-hmm. with their bodies to make sure no harm come to them.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You got custodians in there that would do the same thing.
Sure.
And they are paid nothing.
Yeah.
You've got bus drivers out there. They got a shortage because of the pay. And you've got to come up. The scale's got to come up. Your custodians, your lunch ladies, and your bus.
How do you do that?
It's there. We're not talking about this great number. We got to jump it up. And we got to pay them $30 an hour. We're not talking about that. We just got to be competitive.
Okay.
That's what we have to do. And I think we can be. I think the monies are there. I think we can be competitive.
That's good to hear. And it's good to hear.
If we have to cut the fat somewhere, Sean, hey, let's cut
right.
the fat.
Right. Well, I mean, yes, you're not going to get an argument from me.
Yeah.
And to know that there's... Because I fear, really, the financial side would be the undoing of this idea. But you're saying, in fact,
that was him telling me that.
It's great
from
news.
His lips to my ears. And look, I have no reason to believe anything different.
That's great. I'm happy.
At this point, he has been 100% honest with me. And I'm going to tell you, he'll get the same from me.
Excellent. All right, Johnny, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. We'll pick it up next week. We've got a constrained kind of schedule going on here.
I appreciate any time you give me, Sean. Thank you so much for the consideration of allowing me to be here and helping me with our agenda.
Hey, man, I'm all on board. Thank you, Johnny. There he is, Johnny Hatcher. We'll be right back. Joining us next, Jeff Stone from Stone Arms in Silver Creek Grange.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Coming up at 1:30, at least it's best they're telling us, that Attorney General Merrick Garland will have a press conference, make a statement here. I don't know if he'll take questions or not, but we will cover that. Also, want y'all to say hello to my friend, and you heard me mention him a second ago, as the man behind Stone Arms and Silver Creek Range, Jeff Stone joining us in studio. Good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me come in as well.
I want to talk about this. This is something you and I had visited about with your range, with Silver Creek Range, and a fundraising account you have to do what? What's the plan here?
Right now, there's not a place where handicapped persons and or disabled veterans can actually go shoot under a shoot house that has customized tables that they, will accommodate a handicapped person. So what we're trying to do at Silver Creek Range is to offset the cost of building approximately 100-foot-long, state-of-the-art concrete, metal roof, concrete floor, and customized shooting tables for handicapped persons.
Would it be where
handicapped
like a wheelchair could go underneath?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we have a range member who has a daughter who is basically laying down in a wheelchair, and she came up to shoot one day and had nowhere to shoot, and I felt about as big as a pea, and I was like, we got to do better. We got to make a place where she and everybody else can come and shoot. And how we're going to do this is, once we build it, we get the funding for it, and that's why I'm here today to ask for funding to build this project. Then we're going to have an open house about twice a month where people can come in. And, people who will be able to utilize a range like this, handicapped persons and or disabled vets, and we'll have an open house where we have members of our range volunteering their time to come help facilitate.
Oh, good.
And let people shoot for the day.
Until you told me the other day, I didn't realize there wasn't, a range that was capable of doing that. But once you started talking about it, I said, yeah, I've never seen that. I've never seen anywhere where, if you're not in that, if you're not handicapped or you don't have a loved one that's handicapped, maybe you don't think about it until somebody like you steps up and says, hey, think about this.
And to be honest, I didn't think about it either until we were actually shooting a commercial, and he said, can I bring my daughter? And I knew of her capacity.
Right.
And when she showed up, I didn't realize, she was in a very unique situation, at least in my opinion, laying down in a chair like that. And that's what prompted me. I said, we got to be able to build this. We got to be able to provide this service for people in our area who can utilize a place like this.
It's funny, look at the text line too, like Grant's already talking about the how to do this. So this is something you've already got the infrastructure, no doubt, with Jeff, but you got the infrastructure done. If somebody wants to donate, there's already,
they can go to,
right, saying, can I start an account?
They can already go to, it's already done, handy The name of it is the they can go to
Silver
any
Creek fundraiser.
Hancock Whitney Bank.
Okay.
They can go to any Hancock Whitney Bank and just say, hey, I want to donate to the Silver Creek Range fundraising account.
Okay.
And the banks are already briefed about this. They know and they can donate. Any bit helps. We have to buy concrete. We have to buy metal roof, trusses, all that. We have to, you know, have the construction work done. We've already started to clear off the area. It's going to be a 100-yard range. And, yeah, or they can go to Stone Arms. If they don't want to go to the bank, they can go to Stone Arms during normal business hours and donate.
And I've got Jeff's contact info that he said it's okay. That
sure, yeah.
So it's somebody, you know, a lot of people riding down the road right now, and they just text me when y'all get a chance, and I'll get you the info on doing this, whether you want to go by Hancock Whitney or directly to see Jeff. Also, you have commitments from folks already that are going to step up and help.
So far, we have financial commitments from Core Industries, Poly Surveying, Four Wood Brothers Insulation, and just as of this morning, U.S. Law Shield.
Very good. So this is the group of people that somebody who's donating now will be associated with, that coming together to make this happen.
Correct. And we're hoping to get more help with this. Obviously, we're trying to raise, I'm not going to lie, we're trying to raise $50,000.
Okay, that's
we
good.
We want to do this
numbers.
Right. We want to have solar-powered ceiling fans, because there is no power. You know, it's an outdoor range.
Right.
We want to make this as comfortable and as accessible as possible. We're also looking for somebody who is way more knowledgeable about building something like this, the handicap part of it at least, to come help consult and give us some ideas as well.
I tell you right now, this audience, the folks that are in construction and building science out there, there's a bunch of them. So you're looking for their expertise.
Sure. Yes, sir.
Because it kind of explained the situation where somebody would be able to drive up in their vehicle and then get out.
Offload,
and then
onto concrete.
Okay.
Not gravel.
Right.
Roll up, right? Everything's going to be concrete. We're even trying to figure out how we can make a concrete sidewalk all the way to the targets where they can go all the way down range and rehang their target.
Well, and think about that. Yeah, how are they going to go? Yeah, so that's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, well thought out, Jeff. Yeah. No surprise.
And again, I have not thought of everything. So, you know, if somebody has ideas or has, you know, previous experience doing something like this, please, you know, get a hold of me and let me know.
Listen, I learned to improvise and overcome. A Navy man and
Navy
police
CBs.
Officer. Yeah, I mean, CBs, y'all only build like fortresses out of napkins. So,
that's right.
But yeah, so people that are doing this, and this is good because I know people in the audience are in this building world that could come out and consult and just say they probably know exactly how to do it. They've done these kind of facilities before.
And the tables have to be adjustable because not everybody's the same.
Okay.
Not all wheelchairs
sure,
are the
sure.
same. Not all disabilities are the same. So we want to be able to say, yes, you can shoot here no matter what your disability is.
Fantastic. So
yes,
this is going to be, I mean, this is a community-sourced idea, which
that's
I
right.
like.
That's right. And I know for a fact, because I've helped out before with certain situations where we help raise money for usually unfortunate situations.
Yeah.
But I know Mobile, the people that y'all can help. I know y'all can do it. You've done it before.
Oh, yeah. Good folks here.
Yes.
Yeah. We spend so much time in talk radio talking
sure.
about the bad
people
folks.
Love
we don't talk
get
enough
behind
about
something like this.
Especially when it's local, especially when it's good.
Yeah, and this range will be not-for-profit. We'll have, again, twice a month. We'll invite, and I don't know how to do that either, how to get the word out. Hey, you know, if you need a range and you don't have access to a range
because
you're handicapped or you're disabled or whatever, this is the place to go, and we're going to need help getting that word out as well.
I know a dude who can help get word out.
I know one too, Sean.
Yeah, I know that dude. Hey, and before we circle back around here, because we've got about 2 minutes left to give those places to go to make donations. But I look up here, questions in your world. Is the ammunition shortage situation getting any better or worse?
It's starting to get a little bit better.
Okay. Yeah.
It's starting to get – I will say this real quick, though. If you, for example, have 270 ammo for shooting, your neighbor may not. So next time you go to the store and you have 10 boxes of 270, don't buy 10 more boxes. That is why we're in the ammo situation that we are currently in.
Panic buying. Whoever's buying up all the 7mm aught-8, 140 grain core lock before I can get to it, I'm on to you. I'm on to you. So don't do that. So, but it is getting a little bit better.
It is getting a little bit better.
All right. That's good news because we're – there's so many stories about that and the gluts and then the lack of ammo and then what rounds are being made and what's not being made.
Yeah, it is coming around slowly but surely. We do see it getting better.
All right, before we wrap up, once again, this is the important part. So they can go directly to Hancock Whitney Bank.
Any Hancock Whitney Bank.
And just say...
The Silver Creek Range fundraising account.
Okay. And they'll know, okay. And
they should, yes.
Go in there, they should. And then if they want to do it directly through you, they can come to the shop?
They can come to Stone Arms.
Okay.
And that's on Airport Boulevard, just west of Snow Road. We recently moved directly across the street.
Yeah, y'all moved to the south. I saw that.
So we're on the south side of the street, bigger location. Or they can text me at 251-422-9641.
That's his number. I've got it here. So yeah, y'all can email me or text me at 343-0106, and I'll pass that along. And then yeah, we will continue this discussion. You are looking, obviously, like you said, for financial donations like Core Industries and PolySurvey, Forward Brothers Insulation, and U.S. Law Shield have done. But you're also looking for expertise.
Correct.
So builders, I know y'all are out there. You've done this before. Somebody was suggesting the mats and mats for pathways. So listen, we got.
Oh yeah, I know what. Yeah, we haven't thought of that. That may be...
There's Fred, yeah. So there you go. So you can do that. Just get all these ideas together and talk to Jeff about this and then make those donations as well. This is good stuff. We'll keep the fire lit under this.
All right. Again, thanks for having me. Let me come in. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. There he is. Jeff Stone Arms. Coming right back, it looks like we are going straight to Washington as Attorney General Merrick Garland to make a statement. I don't know if he takes questions or anything, but we'll go to that as soon as we can as that pressure becomes available. Of course, you're on Washington time, so a lot of times y'all know that I'll say, you know, this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen for a few minutes afterwards. But when they get there in gear, we'll go straight to it. All right, be right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And let's check in with our friend Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Man, every time, Angelo, we talk about that free appraisal thing, I get texts. People say, is it really a free appraisal? So I'll do this. Hey, Angelo, is it really a free appraisal?
Well, of course. I mean, you've got your stuff. You want to know what it's worth. You don't want to spend a bunch of money to try to find that out because, who knows, it might not be worth much. So right. We have been offering a free appraisal since we opened the doors. That's on gold and silver coins, precious metals, on jewelry. Now, on the jewelry side, it's not an insurance appraisal. It's just a fair market value appraisal. But we do that at zero cost to our customers, absolutely free.
I love it. And beyond, we talk coins so much, beyond coins, talk about all the different items, or you couldn't do that in 2 hours. Talk about some of the different items in Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
So, you know, everybody comes in and they think, you know, we're just selling gold and silver bullion because they're following us on Facebook or on Instagram. Then they walk in and they see the jewelry right there up in the front case. Then they see all the cool pop culture coins and collectibles, all the rare coins, and they see that huge wall of open L knives there. And that's the thing is we are a coin shop, but we're not just a coin shop. You know, we try to pride ourselves as being a one-stop shop for a lot of things. You know, if you're trying to get a gift for somebody, you can come in, get a cool one-ounce engravable piece of silver. You could get a set of open L knives or a cool open L pocket knife. You could find a stunning one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry. And on that note, right now we have over 6,000 unique and different pieces of jewelry in stock. Pretty impressive.
Very impressive. Tell folks how to find you in the real world, online, and let's talk about that radio show and podcast.
Yeah, we're in Midtown Mobile on Government Street, 2204 Government. Online, of course, mobilebaycoins.com. You can like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook and check out those mail call videos and the unboxing videos. You can check us out every night, 6 to 7 p.m. with two guys and some change on FM Talk 106.5. And if you miss that, pull up however you listen to your podcast and look up two guys and some change and start following us there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, sir.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Standing by, like I said, yeah, you got Washington time, right? You got regular time and you've got Washington time. So they put the media release out earlier, said at 1:30 our time, Attorney General Merrick Garland would be making a statement. 1:40:26 right now. He has yet to, the people have been checking the mic and doing all that stuff. So as soon as that happens, we'll go to that. Let's see, a bunch of questions. Okay, yeah, all the stuff on the handicap accessible range at Silver Creek Range that they're doing. We'll keep that information here, so if you want to send me an email or a text like a couple people did, I can just kind of cut and paste this and put it in so you'll have all the info on doing that. I hadn't thought about that, and shame on me. People that can't, I mean, you walk up, you carry your rifles, you go up to a range and shoot, and didn't think about somebody that doesn't have that same ability, to walk in. So what are they going to do? So good for Jeff and others thinking about this. Alex was at, so yeah, by the way, Alex was asking about a conversation we had last hour on the show with Stephanie Holden Smith. Yeah, you can always go grab the podcast if you miss something or just get part of an interview we do. The app is the first place that our podcasts load. It's just the way it is. It's the fastest place. I don't know why. I mean, we put them up. It goes to one place. We put up podcasts, and then they, what is it, populate or podcastulate through the internet. But the app, the FM Talk 106.5 app, is the first place they podcastulate out there. So you can get them there. So, Alex, I appreciate you having some interest in that. This is a question from our conversation earlier with Johnny Hatcher. It sounds like one of our big questions there, on this, at least for me, this question of having somebody to protect schools and going from a school resource officer being armed conversation to one and having either a deputy or an officer, so either the county or the municipality the school's in, being able to provide that. From the conversation we had with Johnny Hatcher, it sounds like Superintendent Threadgill says the funding is there. And I think, and the sheriff just on the show this week on Tuesday said that the amount of money, he didn't give me an exact number, but the amount of money it would take to have a deputy that would be at that school providing that security would be commiserate with adding a new teacher. So it's not a huge cost per school to do that. So, and it's good to hear that the school system's talking about that. They're going to do what's needed. So hopefully this conversation that we've been having for a long time is moving forward. Are they going to go to that? I could take a quick call. I got people on the lines here, but I do want to say this, that if the Attorney General does mosey on out to the podium here, we're going to have to cut away. But we will go to some calls here. Let's see who's first up. Freddie is in Mobile. Hey, Freddie.
Hey, Sean. First of all, I want to say thanks to 106.5 for doing what they do. I mean, y'all are so important to the community. It just goes beyond recognition. I just
thank
want
you.
To say that out
loud. That's kind.
That said, I with Westmobile Annexation Committee, and something that was said this morning about laws being made and the forfeiture of the tow truck and that not being known, and what's happened in our case with laws around police jurisdictions being changed and that not being known, and my association with the motorcycle rights organization, Dixie Abate, there's laws that come out that that's the reason why we exist, is because if you don't watch the government, then they will take and steadily nip away at the edges, and the next thing you know, they're taking bigger pieces.
Yeah, and I think
I mean that's where you guys are so important, is because of the fact that you let us know about this stuff. If people would listen, and not only that, there are ways to take and watch the government when they're making this stuff happen. I mean, there are active web addresses that you can go to that monitor this stuff for you, or at least will take and send you a notice when something happens in a specific area. So it's one of the reasons why, like I said, it's one of the reasons why I'm involved in the various political groups that I'm involved with, is because government does things that adversely affect my life if I don't take and say, hey, wait a minute now, don't do that. So, I mean, it's people like you, also Lanyap. I mean, I subscribe to them. And I'm really appreciative of the job that Robert Holbrook and his staff do and how they do it. And they actually go out and try to find information that will make people mindful of what's going on around them. Because I don't know if it's apathy or what it is that creates this situation where people just say, I don't care. Well, I do care, and that's the reason I watch all the, you know, I listen to you guys, I'll read Lanyap, and I monitor these various activities that I have a lot of interest in.
Freddie,
and,
well,
I mean,
said.
Of course, we'll be, with the Westmobile Annexation Committee, we'll be watching what happens with the city of Mobile going forward in the annexation.
Yeah, Freddie, what are y'all hearing on that? Because I was told that once they got through this, you know, latest redistricting vote, that that would start the wheels moving here on city council taking up this idea of giving the referendum for annexation.
Well, it's like you guys, my understanding is that they've already taken and started having talks with the various city council members and, mm-hmm. and laid out to them what their plans are as far as where that goes or what that looks like. I have no idea at this point.
Well, we will keep our eyes on this, and Freddie, keep us updated when this all starts from y'all's side of it. And
we'll be in touch with you guys if they can let you know what we plan on doing as far as that goes too.
Good deal, Freddie. Appreciate the call. One of the things we do, you shine daylight on things, and that doesn't always mean. You know, sometimes there's stories. I know it's one of the things that's been interesting. Number one, sometimes people get mad about something that happens in government or something happens in their life, and they attribute it to the wrong entity, federal government, state government, municipal. They don't know where to put that. So we're in the business of, number one, telling you where that's coming from, and then you can decide, you know, if you're upset by it or you like it, who to talk to. The second part of this is there are sometimes that – and I'm giving some wide berth to some elected officials that they only hear from one group of people, right? I mean, it's the one group of people has some kind of thing they want government to change. And because they want that, they have a voice, they are vocal, they are organized, and they talk to members of government. So when the people that would be maybe 180 in opposition to whatever that thing is aren't organized, aren't talking to them, so the elected officials just hear from one side. And then they get this idea that it's, you know, all one way. Well, the beauty of what y'all do, when you turn up your voice, when you call the station, is you make your other voice known. And listen, the elected officials, they listen and they react from that. So keep it up. Good work. So I guess now we're, 20 minutes late? Were they late when they... when they conducted the raid of Mar-a-Lago, were they right on time? I wonder if they were supposed to conduct it one time and they were 20 minutes late for that. It's a Washington function. It's a Washington function of when they call. The story, if you're just joining us right now, that we're waiting on Attorney General Merrick Garland. It came out that he was going to make a statement. At first, they said it was a presser. Now they've changed it to a statement in the... Here's Fox News is saying former President Trump's office received a grand jury subpoena this spring. Okay, this is more on that story. Give me the new. Where's the new update there? All right, there it is. So there's nothing new. It just says Justice Department says Attorney Merrick Garland will make a statement at 1:30 our time. Well, and that's come and gone. Yeah, and sometimes they'll say that they're behind, like they're getting last-minute decisions. I would worry that if they didn't, they called the press conference or the statement conference, or whatever this is, before they knew what they were going to say. That they're back there? Are they back there eating snacks? Feet kicked up on the table to see how long they can make the United States, the citizens, wait to hear why it was a necessary thing to have an FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. And once again, we might find something out that is. You may come on the other side of this and go, oh my gosh. But if it goes back to what the stories have been all week, it's about these classified documents. I continue to ask this question of people that have been on the show here that have some reason to know more about this kind of stuff than me. And I said, why didn't they just go through and ask? Why didn't they just ask the folks, you know, hey, you've got these documents. We came down in June, and we'd like to come back and get the documents and that we left there last time. Why it wasn't handled with attorneys? I mean, we know. But academically, I can say, why wouldn't it handle the other way? All right, let's do this. As they have yet to come sashaying their way to the podium, we'll run to a quick news break, and then we'll be right back. Hopefully go straight to that presser right here on Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Ah, yes, Washington time. It's an unfortunate real thing. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. By the way, you heard the news story there from Devin with WKRG, and it seems to have been very popular this on our Facebook page. Story about the sailboat. A couple things. Number one, nice looking sailboat called Living the Dream, which is interesting, the name of the sailboat that's washed up at Fort Morgan on Tuesday morning. But somebody was saying earlier, like, how could a sailboat from Oklahoma make it here? I'm guessing somebody might tell me, but you go the Red River, right? I mean, it depends on where in Oklahoma, but if you're the Red River is in Oklahoma. If you go in the Red, and I don't know what that sailboat draws, if it's got a removable keel or whatever, but there's barge traffic on the Red River, so I can imagine get a sailboat down the Red River, and then to the Mississippi, and then out to the Gulf, and then it could be coming over this way. So I don't know. 40-foot sailboat washed ashore, has everybody talking. Can't believe it hadn't. Has it been looted yet? Have people pilfered things from there? I don't know. That story on our Facebook page. And speaking of which, as the Attorney General of the United States is now 25 minutes late for the 1:30 presser, Paul Feinbaum starts here in just a few minutes. You can go to our Facebook page. You may want to get that ready, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. And that video will be feeding there as well. I see the look of updated news when Dalton walks into the studio. What's up?
It looks like, according to Joe Concha,
yeah.
With The Hill, Concha, Fox News contributor,
yeah.
I don't think he's being sarcastic here, but he tweeted, Garland will speak for 5 minutes and will not take questions afterwards.
That's what I was wondering, if it was just going to be, it says a statement now. It went from saying presser to a statement.
Right. They've just like it went from being a raid to a warrant check.
A visit.
Right. So he said it's a thing the past 19 months. I don't know if that's a typo or it's if he's saying thing. This is just what they have done over the last year and a half. But that's the exact tweet from Konka. AG Garland will speak for 5 minutes and will not take questions afterward. It's a thing the past 19 months.
And maybe that's how he's dealt with it. And I have not watched the pressers from Merrick Garland. Have you?
If I have, I can't recall the exact time that I did.
Right.
You know?
So maybe that's what Joe Concha means is that this is how they do their pressers or just statements.
Yeah. I'm seeing reports he's stuck in the Wallace Tunnel. I don't know if that's a possibility. But
that's where the Attorney General is.
But 27 minutes at this point. I mean, come on, right? I don't know. Is there a record book for the longest time it's taken for...
I've been doing this long enough. You've been doing it for a long time, too. But I've been doing it long enough that I have. And both parties, different presidents, different. I mean, this isn't a Democrat thing, not a Republican thing. They all run on this Washington time, you know. And I'm such a nerd for the business we work in where everything's locked down by specific times that like 1:30 means something to me.
Yeah.
Right? You know, 1:45 means something to me. 1:57 and 7 seconds. But obviously in Washington, I said this. I wonder. Pull back the curtains. You and I were talking a second ago and said, hey, is it that they're waiting for, you know, are they going to lose a lot of people that are going to listen to this? Or are they going to, or are they going to gain because they've waited so long that people have come around?
Because, you know, the big thing in our business is how can we get the most people, and this is true for everybody who wants eyes on them. How can you get the most people to pay attention to you? And they should know, I would guess, in the administration. By holding off for 30 minutes, do you lose more eyes than you gain from the suspense? I don't know.
And this is really for, I mean, those of us that are engaged during the day and then folks in the media, because this will be repackaged for tonight's news, right? So that's what, I mean, they do it, the cameras are on, and then it'll be repackaged and put out during the news. So yeah. That's what will happen. It looks like no one has, at least for a while there, you and I saw like some of the lackeys around there coming out and straightening the mic and all that. So I, why am I so interested in this? I mean, you say, well, it's just a presser for, because this is huge.
Major.
This is huge. The reason why this was the good idea, this was the reason why this raid was conducted. And once again, there could be something to this. But if it's about documents needed back in the National Archives, why that couldn't have been dealt with. I know Todd Stacey pushed back the other day, which I enjoy. I don't like, you know, everybody agreeing. He said, well, that they could, you know, if they knew they were coming, they could destroy them or whatever. But they could have destroyed them, right? If you want to walk this through, if former President Trump had these documents at Mar-a-Lago, and these are some kind of, you know, beyond the note from Kim Jong-un or the welcome to the White House letter from former President Obama, if they had something that was some kind of document that was going to get the president, he would have destroyed it.
Yeah. The security footage.
Or maybe
thing.
He wouldn't. I mean, there's people who say, no, he wouldn't. But I tell you right now, my take on Trump, he would have destroyed it already.
The security footage thing interests me. Subpoenaing the security footage from Mar-a-Lago a couple months ago and then asking them to turn the cameras off during the raid. And this is a huge story, but this presser could be, you know, a big nothing burger. He could just be saying no comment on investigations that are currently underway. Who knows?
Well, you got to do something because you have truly put the country in turmoil with this, right? So you got to come out and say something. You think you might not wait till this point to do it. All right. Paul Feinbaum next. We'll pick this up on Facebook.